Are you ready to celebrate for 6 weeks?
This autumn on the Isle of Wight, Can You Hear Us is celebrating all that the island is.
We're talking theatre,
carnival,
music,
new public art,
foraging,
shared meals,
poetry,
nature,
island craft,
landscape artists,
storytellers,
choirs,
and folklore,
culture and community, island wide.
Taking place in your towns,
your villages,
your schools,
community hubs,
and outdoor spaces. We want culture to be more
visible. To include everyone.
And to be easier to take part in.
And for the Isle of Wight to be recognised as the creative island it is.
Join the celebration.
Visit our website at canyouhearus.uk.
The Can You Hear Us project is a Creative Island 6-week Arts Council England funded cultural programme, running from September the 11th this year until October the 24th. Across the Isle of Wight, many organisations are taking part. These podcasts are to find out what the organisations are doing across the Isle of Wight so you don't miss anything.
Another guest, we've got Robin Simpson. Welcome, Robin. Tell us what you do.
Thanks, Ian. Good to be here. I'm Robin Simpson. I'm the chief executive of an organisation called Creative Lives. We work across the UK and the Republic of Ireland. We've been going since 1991. And we act as the national voice of the amateur arts. So if you think about every choral society, amateur dramatics group, lace makers, quilters, painters, recorder players, handbell ringers, all those creative hobbies across the country, tens of thousands of groups, millions of people, we are their spokesperson. We're their national organisation. We speak to governments, funders, arts councils, policymakers, local authorities on behalf of those groups. And we provide a lot of information and advice to the volunteers who set up and run those groups in their local communities, helping them to do what they do to cope with the logistical challenges of running a group and to make the most of their creative activities.
Sounds like there's a massive feel-good factor attached to this as well.
Yes, it's all about things people do for fun, which is lovely. It's a nice way, it's a nice thing to work on professionally. Because it's things that people have chosen to spend their own time and their own money on. And it's a sort of natural human impulse going back hundreds of years. People come together in their communities, they decide they want to sing, they form a choir, and then they gather with their friends and family and neighbours, they practice, they perform. And it's about doing something that's enjoyable and fun. But of course, it has all sorts of really positive benefits, both to those individuals and to the wider community. So anybody who goes to some sort of weekly group, music group or a drama group or a sewing group, and I think we saw this particularly during lockdown, you realise that it's a really important part of your life. You look forward to that Wednesday evening, that group of friends coming together, doing something, learning a new skill. So it's about your mental health, your well-being, your confidence, your skills, your sociability, making friends, avoiding loneliness and isolation. And it also has that benefit to the wider community of providing a sense of community pride, identity, cohesion, as well as all sorts of tangible benefits to the local economy. It's just generally a good thing. Most of the groups we support are entirely self-funded and self-supporting, but they tend to go a little bit under the radar. And a lot of our work is trying to surface the groups that exist in every community. Everywhere we work, we find groups, even in quite poor parts of the country, areas facing neglect or discrimination, people still find a way to be creative. But these are the sort of unsung heroes of communities that are often a little bit ignored. And a lot of our work is about surfacing them and showcasing them and giving them more profile.
I think it's fantastic. I really do. I mean, when you mentioned sewing, I just think of my grandmother doing a bit of sewing. But, it's so much more than that. And some of the topics that you just mentioned there, I think that's lovely. And it really is. And it highlights, and especially you've highlighted COVID and people's mental health and so on. Is there any, in the last few years where a topic has come and you think, well, hang on a minute, this is totally different. This is new. It's something new and fresh. It can't be that, sewing goes back to the dark ages, but there must have been something new and fresh that you've...
All the time. Yeah. And these things are changing all the time. So, I mean, we are seeing, obviously, lots of emerging art forms and creative activities, particularly around digital tools and online activity, but also you see the reinvention of more traditional forms. So, I mean, things like knitting has had a whole renaissance through social media. You think about the explosion of knit and natter groups and the guerrilla knitting movements, you know, yarn bombing, where people go out and knit things around post boxes and lampposts in the middle of the night. And that sort of community activism has got a whole younger audience, where knitting was seen as the sort of preserve of older people and a previous generation. So I love the way that things reinvent themselves and find a place in the modern world.
It brings people together as well, puts a smile on their face. Now, you, as soon as you mentioned postbox toppers there, I had a smile on my face, because we there's a lady that knits around us, around our way, and there's something new every couple of weeks, and it's just wonderful. It must bring so many people together. With, I mean, we've mentioned knitting and sewing, and you think, yeah, okay, it was from the Dark Ages, but what a wonderful way of bringing people together.
Yes, and it's interesting how the magic of the groups we represent is that they, you know, they're all fun, enjoyable activities, and that's what attracts people. So, you know, lots of people take part in creative groups who wouldn't otherwise volunteer for community development charities or civic action or local democracy, but they are playing their part in those things by being part of those groups. And they probably wouldn't use that terminology, but actually those groups are often solving problems in their communities. You know, they're seeing a neglected building and restoring it, or they're seeing, you know, that the provision of food and support to lonely elderly people in that area has been depleted. So they decide to just do something themselves. The fact that it's a sociable group of friends who come together gives it a platform to be more active in the community, but without calling it civic action or community development, it actually attracts a wider range of people. So it gives an even stronger opportunity to revitalize those communities. We're always hopeful we can use this as a lever to help things continue. I mean, I would say three things about that. One is that most of these activities are largely self-funding the rest of the year. Yes, they're doing something special as part of Can You Hear Us, but these groups are here all year round, and so they are inherently sustainable, resilient, because they fund themselves the rest of the time. So even if there's not a further grant program like this, these groups will continue to exist, and hopefully their profile will be slightly higher as a result of being involved in this program. Secondly, we are always keen, when we give out small amounts of grant funding, to use it as an opportunity. It's always interesting. The amounts in some cases are quite small. It's not so much the money that we're giving, it's the sort of inspiration and almost the sort of permission and recognition for groups who feel that they're a little bit ignored and undervalued and unseen. Getting a small grant as part of this big program across the island is a form of recognition. It's that sort of badge of honor. So it gives them that sort of sense of pride and justification for their activities. So that in itself is helpful in the longer term. But also, when we give out the small amounts of money, we still insist on the groups showing us that they have proper insurance in case anything goes wrong at their activity, that they are thinking about issues to do with safeguarding, particularly around children and vulnerable adults. And we'll help them if they don't have that in place. So we use the small grant as a lever to help to make these groups more safe and sustainable and protected for the future, which also then puts them in a stronger position in future years. And then finally, I would say we think that the amount of demand we've seen with the 84 applications we had across the island is showing what a rich cultural tapestry there is there at that sort of grassroots level in communities. So we're hoping to use this as an argument to councils, to funders, to the Art Council and others about further work across the island in future years. This shouldn't just be a single moment in the history of the island. This should be the start of a new sort of cultural awareness and strength there. And I think these groups are the bedrock of that.
And it really does highlight them as well, and it will do when the project actually gets underway as well. And I know that there's a lot of people that are already aware of, you know, certain things, certain organisations, but there's an awful lot like myself that have gone under the radar, I'm ashamed to say. But now I'm looking at it and thinking, wow, this is incredible, and it's right under my nose.
Absolutely. And they deserve that respect. They deserve to be showcased alongside the bigger, much more expensive parts of the Can You Hear Us project. These projects are just as valid and in some ways more important because they're rooted in their communities and they'll be there after this year, after this program is finished. So shining a light on them is a great thing to do. And I mean, something that the radio station should be doing on an ongoing basis over the next few years, telling these stories, finding these groups. But we run an annual awards scheme, the Creative Lives Awards, nationally across the UK. And it's just always such an amazing moment when we bring groups together for a ceremony to celebrate their achievements, because it's a real festival of humility. You wouldn't believe how much groups just don't think what they're doing is anything special. But until we tell them it is and show what an amazing effect it has on their communities, everybody's sort of, oh, yeah, we just do this thing. You know, it's nothing much. But it's really important and it really makes a difference to those communities. And, yeah, telling those stories is an important part of what we're trying to do.
Thanks very much, Ian.